Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you very much. Well, I think that set the scene very nicely for what I'm going to talk about, which is some work that I chaired for the National Social Marketing Centre on trying to get to that really tough issue about how do you make the business case, how can you show value for money on what is, as Mike's just really eloquently outlined, multifaceted interventions. But in the real world, commissioners and people who are planning services every day are having to make these hard choices about where they put their hard-earned budgets. So I'm going to talk a little bit about why we need such a tool, what it's about, how we went about developing it, what we selected to look at, that it was very much a collaborative and consensus-building approach, what data we used, and a little bit just to tell you the flavour of how you might go on to use the tool. So we've heard already this morning that we're in a new age where value for money really counts. But perhaps the backdrop of austerity reminds us of what we maybe perhaps should always have been doing, which is to prove that we're using the resources we've got to maximise the outcomes that we can achieve and to really improve people's health. But I think increasingly, as we've heard over and over again from speakers this morning, is that we're beginning to realise that behaviour change is an important part of a public health intervention mix, but that we've got to think about how do we use this wisely. So what we actually did was I chaired a advisory panel to bring together some of the leading experts nationally, and the work was commissioned by Sanjay Gupta and colleagues from the Department of Health to really try to think about how can you prove this value for money for planning and evaluation. The panel itself included people who really understand these issues. We had Ian Basnett, who's the was then the Director of Public Health in Tower Hamlets. We had Julian Legrand, a leading economist, and Mike himself and colleagues from NICE who really contributed to the work. And the hard work was done by colleagues within NICE, by Graham Lister, who led the development of the tool, and by colleagues in the National Social Marketing Centre. So at the heart of it, it's really a utilitarian principle about how do you get the best health possible from the resources you've got available. And you have to come off the fence in local terms. You've got to make choices. One of the dilemmas always, and Mike outlined this really in the causal chains that he presented, is that you've got to balance short-term gains with long-term impact. And yet we know some behaviour changes, for example, stopping smoking in pregnancy, actually occurs, the benefits occur over a relatively short period. So it's not all doom and gloom. But very importantly, you've already heard that this is about complexity, it's about working across sectors, and how do you really think in the broadest terms about the outcomes you might want to look at? And of course, at the heart of it is really how do you turn off the tap, if you like, to stop that pool of ill health increasing. But as Mike's already said, one of the challenges when you're looking at this is that behaviour change interventions are often multifaceted. And they work often because they bring together different approaches within a whole intervention, and they're synergistic. The sum of the parts is greater than the whole. So against that backdrop, as you might imagine, this wasn't exactly an easy thing to set ourselves as a challenge. And yet, I think what we did, the approach we took, was highly pragmatic. So we recognised that what we really needed to do was take areas where there really was a clear behavioural goal, where data was routinely collected and where there was a clear endpoint. And also, very importantly, because you have to put resources where there are priorities to think about what were the priorities for public health. So the areas we picked, which are outlined there from smoking through to breastfeeding, fulfilled those criteria and were areas then and now that have public health importance. As I mentioned earlier, this was very much about developing a consensus. The process kicked off, as all good processes should, with looking at what's the existing evidence, what are the guidelines out there, what's best practice, what can we learn from people who are already trying to do this. You heard earlier about from Laura about the National Audit Office work and others. But we also importantly talked to people, many of you out there in the field, about what people really needed, what they thought the methods that would be helpful for them were, and what really was at the crux of how they make decisions in planning and evaluation. And then in terms of getting to the nitty-gritty, the tough bits around some of the challenging economic questions, what we did was put together a panel, virtual panel, of economists, about 50 leading economists, who we asked tricky questions about exactly how should we measure the cost to others, not just the NHS and also the benefits, about how you would pick weighting for issues like inequalities, exactly what costs should be included, and then a question which I'm afraid is not my specialist subject about whether you should use QALYs or DALYs and other such fascinating technical debates. But very, very important if you're going to try to produce a tool that is based on the best available evidence at the time. As part of that debate, we decided in the end to pick QALYs. You will know much more about that than probably I do. But we also decided that we needed to look at the cost to all stakeholders because that is the world of public health, not only local authorities but also local employers across the system. We also needed to look at the savings from the long-term reductions to all stakeholders. And sometimes the evidence was there and sometimes it wasn't. And we drew on international sources like WHO's Global Health Risk Report to fill in evidence. And NICE, with Mike and colleagues, actually played a critical role here to really look at the details around costings, what indicators to pick, and what evidence was out there and what was really practical. One of the difficult things, and those of you who have happened across economics will know, that time is one of the really pesky issues that economists grapple with on a daily basis. But time is also an important factor for behaviour change too, because health obviously recovers at different times from changing behaviour. That's true for smoking, different disease outcomes change at different rates. But very importantly, behaviour change is dynamic. We know that people who give up smoking and succeed for a while quite often go back and start smoking again, so that it's not just a one-off change. We also know, and this is true of behaviour change, but it's true for all of us, that we tend to value the here and now more than we value future benefits. So we had to think about what was the appropriate discounting rate, the kind of technical adjustment that economists make to take account of that time preference. So with all of these complex issues, we try to bring all of those to play with our economic colleagues and others to really think about, okay, so what would you do to produce the best possible robust tool? So tools were produced on each of those areas. The prototype tools were then tried out with local service providers on the ground, with researchers who are experts in their area to really think about, okay, how does this work in practice? And then for each of the areas, a simple online tool now exists. It's supported by courses provided by the National Social Marketing Centre. And whilst nobody's claiming that this is the answer and that you can put your data in, it'll give you the definitive answer, it's a lot better than the back of the envelope calculations that many of us had to resort to. Certainly I did when I was Director of Public Health. So it's a very good starting point because, like most kinds of issues around commissioning, prioritisation, it's about trying to reduce the uncertainty of what you don't know with the certainty of what you're trying to change. So if you're going to use the tool, you need to bring your own data to it. You need to have an understanding of what your baseline data is. As I said, the tool is based pragmatically on data that's normally out there at a local level. You need to have an understanding about the cost of the intervention in your local system, not just your annual cost, but also maybe any capital you've got invested. We looked at the whole costing scenario. You need to know who you're targeting, who they are, and the numbers in each segment. But you also need to think about what will happen after the data, the number of quitters, what are your endpoints, what are their age. And then, obviously, very importantly, because so many people are now thankfully focusing on inequalities, what that means for the most deprived communities. So this was a tool that was developed for local public health teams. It can be used in a number of different ways because it's looking at, you know, what is the value that comes out of behaviour change interventions. So it can be looked at performance and, as Paul Edmondson Jones reminds us, the dreaded targets that you might have to hit. It can also help you do what-if scenarios as a starting point. It's very important, Claire reminds us, about the importance of actually forming the business case for change, and it can help you do that. It can also, I think, point out what information we do and don't have, because obviously this does depend on people having some local data, so if you don't have it, it might provide a useful pointer about what would be helpful. And obviously there are resources available at the website to help you think about how you use that. So this is, you won't be able to read this in detail, but it's kind of what it looks like on the website. And for each of the areas, it then takes you through a number of different steps where you put in your local data and you work out what's available. So that was really what we did. It was a pragmatic attempt to take that really difficult question about what should I invest in? How do I prove to people that behaviour change locally could make a difference and that we can get benefits? And certainly what we know from some of the sites that have used it, like Tameside and Glossop PCT, what they found is actually it helped them make a good case for demonstrating, for example, investing in stopping smoking in pregnancy. Actually, it helped them to form a more robust case at a local level and therefore to be able to invest in a service where we all know that public health interventions, and particularly ones that are seen to be more novel, like behaviour change, are the ones that often get threatened in times of funding problems. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from PolicyReview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.